In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, the Creator and the Sustainer of the Universe, I greet you with the greetings of all the prophets from Adam to Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. Assalamu alaikum, which means peace be unto you. I'm your host, Hamid Rashid. Welcome to Islam in Focus. Today we begin our 10th program in the series of Muslim beliefs, and we'll continue the discussion that we started last week dealing with the description of what will happen on the Day of Judgment. I have with me on the program again today Dr. Jamal Badawi of St. Mary's. Welcome to the program, Brother Jamal. We began our discussion last time of the Day of Judgment. Mm-hmm. Could you perhaps just quickly highlight the main points that we discussed in the beginning program on this?
Sure. We were addressing first the question that's common in many minds as to how could we come back to life after we are dust and our bones decompose in the earth. And we indicated how the Quran responded to this question, that after all, it is He, Allah or God, who created us from nothing or virtually nothing to start with, and who has the ability to create us from this microscopic state of being into full-grown human beings, is able to return us. The Quran even emphasizes further that returning things is easier than creating it in the first place. And the analogy also was given in the Quran between giving life to earth, which is barren, and giving life also to bones that has been decomposed, that He who created all that is definitely able to do that with great deal of ease. We address the question also that some people may have in mind as to whether the punishment of the wicked and unbeliever is simply that he will not resurrect. And we said, according to the Quran, according to Muslim understanding of justice, that this is not the case, that everybody, good and bad, believer, unbeliever, righteous and wicked, will all arise, so that everybody would get his reward or punishment. That this life is not long enough to get the full recompensation for one's own deeds and attitudes. The question then started into the discussion of the major, of the minor signs that signals the approaching of the Day of Judgment. We discussed some of the things that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, prophesied 1400 years ago, which has been fulfilled already in terms of technological change, in terms of spread of new means of transportation. We described that in some detail about objects speaking, referring to the possible media that we know of today. We discussed a little bit about the spread of economic life, the discovery of resources in the earth. We talked also about the spread of skyscrapers, which he also prophesied, especially those that will be built by people who used to be sheep herders mm-hmm. in the past and poor, which are quite interesting and revealing signs. The last question, I believe, that you raised was on the question of health conditions. And we said again that there was prophecy of the spread of drinking and similar intoxicating stuff, and the spread of serious diseases and the sudden death, or possible reference to heart attacks and strokes becoming more frequent and more common.
Continuing then with our discussion of some of the minor signs, an area that most people might find interesting is this area of morality, mm-hmm. both individual and collective. Is there anything in the moral situation which might give us a clue as to the approach of the Day of Judgment?
Well, there are, and I have to be quite frank on this, because the sayings of the Prophet on this particular issue are very clear and quite numerous. For example, if we summarize, in terms of individual morality, one of the things that he prophesied, that there will be a spreading of provocative clothing, especially among females. In one of the saying, he said people would be clothed but unclothed, which means that the clothes, the kind of material, and the way it's designed, and the extent of covering of the body would be so provocative that the body appears as if it's not covered at all because of tightness or other reasons.
Could also be referring to bikinis, I suppose.
Well, I think that could be part of it, too. Yes. I don't know how much the bikini covers of the body.
Yes.
Not only that, also the extremely tight clothes that describes the exact shape of the body, especially the parts of the body that really should not be exposed, would be quite spread. At least should not be according to Islamic teaching.
Right.
A second prophecy that was made is that women will emulate or imitate men, and men will imitate women, which could mean imitation in terms of behavior, appearance, way of dressing, even. And again, I would not to make a lengthy commentary on that, because I think we see some of this in our day and age. A third sign that the Prophet, peace be upon him, mentioned is that there will be a spread of homosexuality, both between males and females. Actually, in his own terms, he said that everybody would feel, every sex more or less feel self-sufficient, in a sense, or giving a metaphor, a polite metaphor of what goes on in terms of sexual life. More specifically even, he described the state where adultery and fornication would be so widespread. Not only widespread, but specifically even he referred to the fact that it will no longer become a private thing. It becomes almost something that's exposed. In one of the saying, for example, he said it almost happened as if people doing it in the street. Well, I think of that, and I wonder whether that might be an allegory even of so-called X-rated movies, where you can just go to any drive-in and watch things that really used to be a very, very private type of domain of only marital relationship. Actually, in one of the saying of the Prophet, he said it would be almost like animals, just whatever or whatever and however person pleases, he may do it. In terms of social morality, there were also a number of signs, one of which is the lack of care and attention to other relatives, like parents and close relatives. He described that in one hadith. In fact, in another hadith, he even specified that sometimes people would be more obedient and listen to their wives and disregard their mothers. A person would be quite generous with his friend, in terms of all these parties, for example, and would be generous with his friend, but does not provide any help to his father, especially if the father is old or unable to earn living, that people would be so indifferent. And I wonder in my mind again about people who insist on sending their elderly, their parents, to nursing home because they don't want to take the trouble of taking care of them and just like wanting to get rid of them. The attitude of people not even asking about their parents or relatives, they just leave and go far away lands and never care to even inquire or even give a phone call on occasions. I mean, there are lots of programs like this that appear once in a while on TV that shows the kind of cruelty that is being perpetrated on the elderly and lack of concern for relatives. That was all predicted 1400 years ago. Secondly, an interesting thing that the Prophet mentioned is that people would hate to raise children. And in one specific hadith or saying, he says, there will come a time where a person would rather prefer to upbring a dog in his house rather than upbring a child. A third sign is the widespread of hypocrisy, as expressed in one of the saying that people would say good words but their deeds are quite evil. And I wonder in my mind, for example, that's my own personal reflection on this saying, as to whether that has something to do also with the promises made by politicians and all the things that goes on. You hear lots of good words about human rights and other things, but the actual practice sometimes does not measure up to this. Another sign that has been repeated in more than one source of the collections of hadith is the spread of killing, to the point that in one hadith he says that there would be so much killing that a person would not know even why he killed his brother. which could again possibly be a reference to despotic rulers who, for their own selfish reasons and their desire to grab somebody else's land or sources of wealth, try to push their people into a fight where they're killing each other without really realizing that this is not really a just cause to get people killed for all the spread of the wars in our century, in the 20th century, has been phenomenal. Many of which, of course, are indefensible. There's no good reason, actually, for most of this killing to take place. Another sign also is that people would not be as charitable. There would still always be people who are charitable, but he says that for some people, charity would be like a burden on them. Actually, he made a prophecy in one hadith even about rulers, that there would be too many rulers, but very few of them would be honest, rulers or people in political offices or political power. And finally, one of the signs that he gave is that there will be a time where a person, which could be a person as an individual or entity like a nation, would be respected only because of its sheer brutal power, not because of justice. The person would be just honored because of the fear rather than because of any particular good reasons why a person or group of people should be honored. So these are some of the I hope clear signs that to me one can see a great deal of it.
Well, we've talked about technology, we've talked about signs in the economic situation, and just now about morality. Are there any other areas, any other minor signs that we should perhaps touch on before we look at some of the major ones?
Yes, there are a few more things that perhaps may not necessarily classify exactly under any of the previous ones, but they're quite interesting and revealing too. That include, for example, the fact that there will be too many false teachers and false prophets teaching people and misleading them. As you know, for the Muslim, he believes that all prophets were prophets of God prior to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, that Muhammad is the last of those prophets. So the Muslim believes in Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and Muhammad. But it's very clearly indicated that Muhammad is the last prophet. In fact, in one of the sayings of the Prophet, he indicated that there will be close to 30 people. Each of them will come and claim to be a new prophet and try to mislead people. And even some might claim that they have new holy books, and for the Muslim, the last revealed scripture was the Quran. That was 1400 years ago. It also indicates that some people would, even who used to be believers, will no longer be believers. They will leave faith. And in one specific hadith, even, or saying, he says that some people would trade their faith for some material benefit that they might obtain. He also indicated that the social values will undergo certain changes, that a person who is pious, who is trying to follow the path of God and to be obedient to God, would be belittled and slighted by other people. In other words, instead of people praising goodness, the opposite would be true. In fact, in one of his sayings, the Prophet Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, says that a person at one time would be belittled because of his prayer, the same way that one could belittle or tease a prostitute, for example, for what she's doing. That there's a total reversal of the values of beauty, of goodness, of purity, that would be just regarded as the reverse. Like somebody, for example, now trying to tease someone or tease a girl, that how come you don't have a boyfriend, how come you're still virgin at that age. Just become the reverse of the purity and moral values as preached by all prophets in all revealed scripture throughout history. There's an indication also that in the same family there will be people following different kind of religions or faith, which shows again there will be lots of people changing or moving around trying to discover the truth or untruth, whatever the activities might end up. There was indication also that people would not take a positive step to try to stop evil. That's in the Quranic terminology called al-amr bil ma'ruf, ordaining all that is good and trying to forbid or advise people not to do evil things. That everybody would say, you know, mind your business. And that's an interesting thing in view of the many of the stories that we hear about people sometimes being killed in the streets, with people watching from their bedroom windows, not caring even to call the police or help. Everybody just say, I don't care, I don't want to get involved. This kind of attitude of apathy would be in society, which would give more room for the spread of evil. There was a prophecy also of the spread of literacy and ignorance side by side, that there could be literacy in terms of scientific, technical knowledge, but a dearth of knowledge that is more important, knowledge that relates to faith and relationship between mankind and the Creator, between mankind and other human beings. How does the human being relate to the universe? That would be a dearth of knowledge and wisdom in that particular field. In fact, in one saying, even he said that some of those even religious leaders, the religious scholars, will be unscrupulous, that despite of their knowledge, they are crooked in their behavior, and that might raise in question people who use religion as a means of obtaining funds or wealth for themselves or position, or people who we find all over the world who might support a despotic ruler for some benefit, using their religious authority to get people to obey a particular dictator or unjust ruler. There was also prophecy that some Muslims will imitate those who were before them. Instead of following the heritage, following the scripture and revelation, the pure revelation given by God, they try to imitate this and that. But in the same time, the Prophet also indicated that among Muslims, there will be a group of people who will always keep steadfast on the true path, regardless of whoever differed with them or condemned them for their steadfastness. And on the whole, you could say that there would be lots of commotions and temptations of people to deviate from the path of truth, not to follow the divine guidance in their lives, and try to follow all kind of false ways of life and philosophies, and materialism would be quite rampant.
Mm-hmm. When we began the introduction to our last program, I think we talked about both minor and major signs. I wonder if you could give us some indication of what these major signs are of the approach of the Day of Judgment.
Okay. In some of those major signs are mentioned in the Quran, some are mentioned in the saying of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Mm-hmm. But they total 10 signs. These are rather difficult to interpret and understand because we don't know exactly whether the words are literal or whether they might be allegorical of something else that may happen. But maybe I can go through the major ones that has been predicted. First of all, that three of the signs relate to three major eclipses. One eclipse in Arabia, one east of it, one west of it. So that three types of eclipses. Another sign would be the appearance or emergence of huge smoke in the sky. Now, whether that literally means smoke or whether it might be a reference to
maybe smog over
smog or pollution, mm-hmm. it's an interesting area. Mm-hmm. That appears, for example, in surah, in a chapter of the Quran called Ad-Dukhan, the smoke.
Yes.
And it says, فَارْتَقِبْ يَوْمَ تَأْتِ السَّمَاءُ بِدُخَانٍ مُبِينٍ يَغْشَى النَّاسَ هَذَا عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ or هَذَا عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. That is, wait until the day when the sky would be full of smoke. This would be really a torment or punishment for people. So one of the meaning that it could be something that's close to the Day of Judgment could also be reference to pollution and the suffering that results from pollution. God knows. I mean, one cannot say that this is necessarily the interpretation of it. A fifth sign is that fire will come out of the bottom of the earth in the Aden area, which is in the Arabian Peninsula. And I read one time that Aden actually is located on top of a volcano. But again, this is beside the point. It may or may not be a reference to that. A sixth sign will be that the sun will come from the west instead of the east, which could signify a kind of disturbance in the cosmic order or the axis of the earth, that the sun would be rising from the west rather than the east. How many are these now? Six?
Six.
The seventh would be that a an animal will come out and speak to people. Again, we don't know exactly whether that would be literally or whether it would be also allegorical, in a sense that people would be so much ignorant in terms of wisdom, even though they might have all kind of technological knowledge, that even animals can tell them, you know, or speak to them or show them that they are really not prudent enough in many of their actions or decisions that they take. That appears, for example, in the Quran in chapter 27, verse 82. But we don't know exactly what's the nature or description of that particular animal. Another sign that might be familiar with many of the viewers appears in the Quran in chapter 21, verses 96 and 97. And that is the coming of Gog and Magog, or in the Quran, Ya'juj wa Ma'juj, groups of people who will come and destroy everything that they can lay their hands on. Again, there are lots of discussions and interpretations to what that exactly refers to, but there will be destruction, the people who destroy or engage in great commotion and warfare. Another sign was that the Mahdi, or the reformer, who would be a Muslim, whose name will be either Muhammad or Ahmad, will come also towards the end of the day, and he will establish justice and peace on earth. But he will come only as a follower of Islam, as carrying the message of Islam and trying to enforce it. There will be lots of peace on earth. Another sign is that during the lifetime of that Mahdi, or the promised one, the false Messiah will come down to earth. The description are again very difficult to interpret, whether it's literal or allegorical, that he will be one-eyed, that he will impress people and even invite them to worship him, whether he will impress them by miracles or impress them by technological power, whether that false Messiah refers to one person or a group of people. This is something that nobody can say for sure. But that many people will be misled and they will follow him and almost worship him in a sense of blind and total obedience to that false Messiah. But most importantly, it says that at this time, Jesus, peace be upon him, who is highly regarded and respected by Muslims as one of the great prophets, will come down to earth and join the Muslim ranks and join the Mahdi in fighting the false Messiah and killing him. After that, the Mahdi will die, and after a while also, there will be a number of years on earth where there will be perfect peace. And then in one of the saying of the Prophet, it says, the Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, will die then, and the Muslims would make funeral prayer on him. And then after that, a cool wind will blow, and it would not leave any person with the slightest faith in his heart but taking his soul. And only evil people would remain on earth, and these are the people who would be there at the time when the Day of Judgment actually starts. By the way, in the question of the false Messiah, something interesting also in one of the saying of the Prophet, it says that the war will take place where Muslims would be to the east of the bank of the Jordan River, and the false Messiah and his legion would be on the west part of the Jordan River. The interesting thing is that this hadith was quoted from the Prophet 1400 years ago, and the narrator of that saying even said, I don't know where the Jordan River on earth even. The narrator himself didn't know where that might be located. So that there might be specification even of the rough area where the fight between the false Messiah and his legion on one hand and Muslims joined by Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, on the other hand. But again, the exact meaning is only known to God.
Each one of these explanations really is food for thought. It really whets the appetite. I wish we had time to go off and to explore some of the inferences that one could draw from them.
Actually, if I may add one interesting thing about Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, because that has been mentioned actually in more than one place. In one verse in the Quran, in chapter 43, verse 61, it says about Jesus being the sign of the hour, وَإِنَّهُ لَعِلْمٌ لِلسَّاعَةِ, which was interpreted in two meanings, that the virgin birth of Jesus is a sign that the hour is true. That's one possible interpretation. The second interpretation, that the second coming of Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, to join hands with the believers, with Muslims, would be itself also a sign that the hour is imminent. This is one. Another controversial verse in the Quran that has been interpreted also in a variety of ways appears in chapter 4, verse 158, where it says about the people of the book that none of the people of the book will die until he believes in Jesus. That was interpreted to mean one of two things, that either every Christian, for example, before his death, will realize at the time of death the nature of Jesus and the fact that has been indicated in the Quran, that he was a great messenger and prophet of God, and all the other things that are attributed to him are not true. That's one interpretation. The second interpretation is that the people of the book, or the Christians who would be living at the time when of the second coming of Jesus, will at that time believe in Jesus as a prophet and a human being, that is, before the final hour comes. So these are also references particularly to this second coming of the Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him. I just want to indicate that because I understand that our Christian brothers also and sisters believe in the second coming of Jesus, but in a different way, that mm-hmm. his second coming as God to judge people. Mm-hmm. Muslims believe also in his second coming, but as a follower of Islam, and all prophets were followers of Islam, because Islam means submission to the will of God.
Mm-hmm. In the brief time that we have remaining on today's program, I'd like to have you describe the beginning of the Day of Judgment itself. What actually happens on that day?
Well, the Quran gives us a sketch of the things that happens, like I said, after only evil people would be living. That first of all, there would be a blow of trumpet where the remaining people living on earth will die, whoever the evil people would be remaining. And secondly, that there would be a great change in the cosmic order. There would be a cosmic catalyst taking place. Something that is totally unimaginable and absolutely terrifying. To summarize, because there are lots of verses in the Quran that deal with this, especially in chapters 75, 78, 81, 82, 84, 89, and 99 are some of the chapters where there are lots of vivid description of this cosmic changes that take place in the Day of Judgment. But just to give you some brief notion of what kind of things happen, first, that the sky would be cleft asunder or unveiled, that the stars will be dispersed and might even come and crash with each other, so that the whole order of the universe is totally changed, that the oceans will burst forth. In one verse in the Quran, it gives even the impression that it might even ignite. I wonder whether that has something to do with the component of water. Mm. One of the components, hydrogen, gets fire and the oxygen increase. I don't know. There might be some change that might result in this chemical transformation. That the mountains will become like flakes of teased wool or carded wool flying. That sort of the balance of the earth is changing altogether. In one verse in the Quran, actually, it talks about mountains vanishing mm-hmm. from existence and becoming like mirage. The earth would be shaken to its utmost convulsions. In another verse, it talks about the earth being pounded. The sun and the moon would be combined or in the same or become in one place. But above all, the description, vivid description of people coming out of the earth, you know, opening, and all of those who lived since the creation of Adam, the first human being on earth, will come back to face the accountability, a day as described in the Quran, where everybody would be concerned only with his own salvation, running away even from his most close relatives, parents, wives, husbands, and children. This is the day where everybody stands in pledge of his or her own deeds.
Okay, well, we've exhausted our time for today. We'd like to invite all of the viewers of the Islam in Focus program back next week when we'll conclude our discussion of the Day of Judgment. Thank you for watching. Join us next time, won't you? Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. Allahu Akbar.